morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here.
Mike Cosentino over here, sitting way over here.
Both guys back from some time off.
I was going to introduce them both, but there they are.
No. We're jumping in today.
Step all over it. That's all right.
This election.
This is a democracy.
Well, we're just preparing, but today's the subject, preparing people for the debate. And then, you understand, there's lots of talking over people. It's so meaningful to have, people screaming at each other for 15 minutes. And you just learn so much about the issues.
What is your take on the debate, Mike? In general.
In general, we're talking about the presidential debate.
Oh, right. In general, they're completely unnecessary and a waste of time. I have no idea why they do these things. If they had sober papers about the issues, this is going to be moderated by a Fox News guy, which makes it even less valid as far as that. Chris Wallace. They're supposed to talk about debt and entitlements. Nothing drives us Social Security advocates crazier than calling it a retirement, since it's an insurance plan that we pay into and we get money out of. They're going to talk about immigration. They're going to talk about the economy, talk about the Supreme Court, talk about foreign hotspots, which Russia ought to come up, and some of the insane relationships, at least that's being reported, between Donald Trump and Russia, and then fitness to be president. That ought to be a good one, because there is no one, that's more fit to be president than Hillary Clinton, and there is no one less fit to be president than the other guy. It's hard to say. It's like Voldemort. I don't want to say his name.
The most unfit guy in the last 100 years, Gary?
Oh, at least. Most unfit guy in the history of mankind. There were tribes in France where guys were more qualified than this guy.
I think it's telling that Nate Silver's 538 website, he tracks the elections and the probabilities for winning. He also does sports information or data.
The important stuff, where the money is.
But and he's never been wrong in my recollection.
Right.
He now has Clinton winning, her chance of winning 87.7%. And over the past week or two, it's been fluctuating between 85% and near 90%.
What's your take? Mike laid out the presumed topics of this, but for somebody like me, it looks like more like mud wrestling than a debate like we used to do in high school or college, where you have actual issues and things like that.
We're sort of informal around here, so before Gary answers, I want to say that.
You're going to interrupt him, Mike?
Yeah, that's right.
Before he starts.
It's the best way.
Welcome to.
I've never been able to watch a debate. I can't. It's like watching your children fight. It's extremely, extremely unpleasant. So I have to leave. I go to debate parties. They have a local one here down at Java Love. The local Democratic Club sponsors it. And I walk in, and I smile, and I say hello to everyone. And as soon as the TV comes on, I walk out. It's like watching violence it's like watching autopsies. Go ahead.
I think that's a good description, especially of the last so-called debate. The first one was relatively calm by comparison. The last one, Trump looked like he was a stalker. And he seemed
almost deranged, Gary.
He
what
did.
Was going on?
He did. In both debates, he's had the sniffles. And
Trump's lawyer is going to come after us because this guy, everybody says, Howard Dean, Carrie Fisher, who knows cocaine, he's got to do the cocaine to get up for the debate. I'm This is, we have to add this to our.
He wants Hillary to take a drug test before she can debate with him.
That's, to me, almost confirmation that he was doing drugs for the last two debates, because every time somebody accuses him of something, right, he turns his whole method of operating is to turn it around and accuse the other person of it. So, but I think the most disturbing thing of the last debate was, and what's transpired since then is his talk about locking up Hillary if he wins. One of the things he would do is turn her over for prosecution and lock her up. And that's never been part of our democracy, let alone any other democracy.
Well, it's set off a firestorm.
To jail the opponent.
Jail the opponent. And that, you know, they do things like that in China, in North Korea.
In dictatorships around the world, yes.
Right. So that did set off a firestorm. However, because at this point in the election, it's Donald Trump, and they know he says stupid crap, and he has no sense of history, and so it, you know, they believe the intent. I don't want to go there. The guy should be pilloried for saying it, and he is being so. Amen.
But he still has Gary. You mentioned Nate Silver. Nate Silver does incredibly complex composite predictions based on polling, but also a lot of demographics and stuff. And even though he says it's a very, very high percentage, almost 90%, that Hillary Clinton will win the election, the polls, some of them are 11-point spread, 9-point spread, but some of them are a 4-point spread. After all the revelations of, now what is it now, 9 or 12 women that have come forward and...
Well, I think the real problem is, there's two problems I really want to talk about. One is what's going to happen after the election should Nate Silver be correct and Trump loses. He's been floating for some time now the idea that the elections are rigged, even though all evidence is to the contrary, that there is virtually no election fraud. I think out of, 2 billion, 2 billion votes cast over a period of time, they found something like 30 in-person voter fraud.
Well, that one governor claimed there were 117 cases, but couldn't prove them. They didn't have, actually, in his state, but they actually didn't have any records, so they couldn't prove that it was true. So
voter fraud has never been proven.
And voter suppression shaves votes off in a close election. It might make a difference. In North Carolina, they deliberately rearranged things so black voters would have a hard time voting. They took away Sunday voting.
Texas, Wisconsin, Ohio, all of the Republican-controlled states have been trying to do
that. All these things distort democracy, but there's a debate about them. I mean, there is a debate. If you want to say that there's voter suppression, there's a debate about whether that's happening. That's a specific issue. If you want to claim there's a whole lot of people sneaking in and voting, well, that's something that there's a lot of research on, and we can tell you that it just doesn't really happen and it doesn't affect election. But there's a lot of information out there. But what I see, and you're talking about Donald Trump's claims, is that they're general. There's a rigging of the election that's kind of like in a cloud.
It undermines because he has no sense of history. He has no political wisdom at all, that it undermines you're not supposed to undermine the entire process. Because it's working. Here we are talking, what, about Donald Trump again. Instead of talking about Hillary Clinton, she just came out with a plan to help poor people in the United States. We're talking, there's lots of them, folks. There's some of them in this room. And nobody's talking about that. We're talking about a significant social policy that she just came up with in the last 72 hours. Nobody's talking about it.
But she's come up with a lot of plans, right, guys? And they never get any publicity.
Plans are very detailed, yes.
The very detailed plans that you need. And they're not going to – none of the plans, whether Hillary Clinton's or anybody else, are going to be enacted exactly as written, right, Gary?
Correct.
But it gives you a good idea of where they want to go. They're never discussed.
I want to talk a little more about the 538 because he's really one of the reasons.
That's Nate Silver's prediction service.
The polls. And you have, as soon as people hear the polls, they turn off because they say, well, every poll does whatever the pollster, whoever's paying for it. And there's, however, you can read Nate Silver's method in 2016. Has it changed much from 2012? The first thing he tells you, not too much. But his method has 9 important points. You can find it various places on the internet, but certainly you can go to his website.
His website, by the way, is 538.com.
Exactly. Not too complex, not too hard to find. And then he says they don't build any special variable in for Donald Trump or special variable for Hillary Clinton. they double check all their assumptions, they double check all their code. they are now showing, and I find this fascinating, they are showing polls only results. They are showing polls plus forecasts, and if the election were held now, forecast. So you get all three out of the 538, which I think is really meaningful and revealing to say, okay, if the election were held today, this is what would happen. They said, if only women voted, this would happen. If only men voted, this would happen. Well,
and you know that what's going to happen in this final week or so.
He says
it's going to be more and more accusations. There was one this morning that there was a quid pro quo with between the State Department and the FBI to change the classification on emails that Hillary had received and sent.
Yeah, but that's just the back and forth of two bureaucracies.
The FBI totally denies it. Of course, our population now is so siloed. If you know what an agricultural silo is, it's a tall, narrow structure. People in politics now are so siloed, they never venture out of their own little group. They only take news and information from sources that they that think like they do.
Yeah.
So you have two extremes, one quite large extreme on the right that only takes its information from Breitbart and Fox News Channel on television and a whole lot of phony alleged news sites on the internet.
If you thought Fox News was bad, you get over to the alt-conservative, alt-right sites, and you get makes Fox look like they're actually professional.
And they keep coming out with more and more claims against Hillary that are completely debunked. They now believe, I just had an extensive back and forth with a couple of longtime friends who are Trump supporters, and they not only don't believe the mainstream media, and they include Fox News Channel in the mainstream now.
Absolutely.
They not only don't believe the mainstream media or any of the newspapers, they've also totally written off the fact-checking sources like factcheck.org and these independent, Snopes, these independent fact-checking organizations. They don't believe anything they have to say.
And we're not saying that the fact-checking organizations are perfect, but they do a pretty damn good job of checking the facts and stuff. And
PolitiFact was started by a Republican newspaper.
Right. And you can look at their results and look at their reasoning and see if you agree with it. It's sort of open source, not in the literal sense, but you can check out what they're saying and why they're saying what they're saying. I think what I hear you saying, Gary, is something I think many more moderate or conservative Republicans are concerned about, is that Trump has now started talking only to his believers, which is a sizable portion of the population, he's reinforcing more and more extreme views in his small, or I guess it's actually large, portion of the population. But he's not doing what a candidate's supposed to do. A candidate is supposed to win the primaries by appealing to primary voters of the parties, and the Democratic Party is primarily liberal in the primaries, and the Republicans are conservative. And so that's how that's how it's normally done. Trump is doing the opposite. He's reinforcing his small base, and we think that that's why he's going to lose this election. We do have a caller in from the Democratic National Committee.
Are you
with us there?
Yes, I am.
Hey,
Hi. Yourself.
Good to be with you.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Susan Turnbull, and I'm the former vice chair of the Democratic National Committee and was also chair of the Women's Caucus for a number of years.
Well, excellent that they actually have a Women's Caucus in the Democratic Party, but I think they have a ladies' club in the Republican Party here in Arizona, and they go for coffee. Anyway, good morning.
Tell us what your take is on the upcoming debate. We've been discussing it, throwing around a bunch of ideas, and also looking at what the post-debate world will look like, what will post-election world will look like.
Well, it's all pretty crazy. First of all, I think that what we're seeing right now is that there's a huge difference between our two candidates. Hillary has the experience to bring people together, which is why she has a message with her campaign. And her message is we're stronger together. And that what we're seeing on the other side is clearly is that the candidate is temperamentally unfit and unqualified to be president. So what I think we're going to be seeing at the debate, literally, is the two different candidates and their approaches to things. With Hillary, you're going to see an economy where we're building an economy that works for everyone, not just those at the top. She'll be talking about jobs and good education available in every zip code. And what we've seen from Donald Trump so far is that he's in it only for himself and is pushing for policies that will help billionaires like himself. We can't predict what's going to be in this debate because we're dealing with someone who is unsteady and unreliable and who's, quite frankly, a bully.
We can say unstable. We can say unstable. You don't have to. We'll say he's unstable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a bully. He's trying to bully his way into the presidency. And I don't know if you all had seen this yet, but starting today, Hillary for America released a powerful new ad, mostly online, exposing just a few of the countless times he's either teared down or intimidated others with his rhetoric. And it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing it.
I've never seen anything quite like his attacks on people, and it started in the Republican primaries with Little Mario and so forth and so on, and it's continued. He's carried American politics to a new public low, at least in any of our memory.
Oh, I think that's exactly right, and I think what we're seeing right now, too, is he knows he's losing, and as a result, he's flailing like crazy, being more erratic and weaving a web of excuses like we've never seen before. It's sort of funny to be talking to you all today because I was the last time I was in Sedona, actually, was in 2000, in November of 2000, and instead of getting to see the beautiful red rocks and wandering around, I was stuck watching my television and looking at and sitting in my hotel, basically looking out the window, but mostly looking at the television because it was after the Gore Bush election. And what we have now is Donald Trump signaling to the world that elections might be rigged, which is ridiculous. This election's going to have a record turnout because voters are going to see through this. And I really do believe that Donald Trump's shameful attempts to undermine an election will not be successful.
Well, and that's why we were worried about what happened after the election. Here's this guy trying to undermine the confidence of the American voter in the system, and his supporters are notorious for being also a little out there. And so if their confidence is shaken, then there may be a job for Hillary that she's going to have to sit on some of these folks to keep them in order.
I think that's right. I mean, what Hillary is saying and what everybody is saying is we have to hear what is causing people to feel that way. But what's unfortunate here is that he has riled up the most inflammatory comments and people possible. I mean, when his response to the campaign office firebombing yesterday or Saturday night in North Carolina was to immediately call people animals. You just don't do that. I mean, yes, what they did was outrageous behavior.
Tell
and yes,
that.
What happened was incredibly unfortunate, but to start off calling people animals and then describe, assuming and making assumptions that this is somehow Hillary Clinton's fault is really outrageous.
I'd like to point out for those who may not know that it was a Republican local office that was firebombed and vandalized, and it was immediately blamed on Democrats. What I thought was really encouraging was that Democrats put together a GoFundMe and raised enough money to rebuild the office almost immediately.
$13,000 is what I heard.
I mean, it's been really fantastic on how people came together, and I think that's the message of what will happen. I mean, I described to you being in Sedona. I could tell you I was also at Vice President Gore's residence. Then it happened to be around Christmas, like right before Christmas, and there were holiday parties. And I was at one of the vice president's holiday parties the night he eventually left and conceded the race. Well, when you think about what he did that night, he went to his office, he announced to the world, this is over. This is over, and we are a democracy, and this is how we handle things. And what we have with Donald Trump right now is he is trying to tear up the very fabric of our democracy. That's not how this works. The elections really are his attempts to bring down voter turnout is an attempt to undermine an election before it even happened.
Talking to Susan Trumbull of the Democratic National Committee. Susan, didn't Donald Trump do this with complete Republican Party cooperation? I mean, it's not like it's not like he's out there. Well, he is out there alone, but the silence from some on the other side. This is
it's sort of interesting because Speaker Ryan actually has come out and said this is wrong. And yesterday, his own running mate, Governor Pence, came out and said, no, we will accept what happens. Of course we'll accept what happens. Well, the problem is you have an erratic, irresponsible bully at the top of the ticket. And if you've got that going on, then he is really seeming to be in total meltdown. I mean, think about it. I mean, we all agree. He's attacked women. He's attacked immigrants. He's attacked people with disabilities. He's attacked veterans, African Americans, Latinos, Muslims, basically anyone who doesn't look like him or agree with him. And what that means is that there is a segment of the population that is okay with that. But according to the New York Times, this is an amazing number. He's insulted 274 different people, places, or things on Twitter alone.
Wow.
Mm. 274 on Twitter alone. Yeah. And that's in contrast to Hillary, Hillary Clinton has pledged to stand up to bullies like him.
Right.
And that's what we will do to move our country forward.
What's your take, Susan, and to go back a little bit, what's your take on how, what was it that allowed Trump to take over the Republican Party? What was it that prepared his way so that you have what we see now, the, as you said, the most unprepared, most unfit candidate in God knows how long?
I think what happened is, first of all, you had so many people in the race to begin with. When you have that many, each one had their own set of followers. And he had a significant number of people who just said no. When these are people who just look at it and go, no, we don't like this, we don't like this, we don't like this. And as I think I heard, overheard on the two of you speaking before the before I came on, the primaries move, the people who are most likely to vote in primaries, especially in the Republican primary, are those who are most committed to a position. And I think that in that case, you saw that the most conservative, the most anti-establishment were the people that were Donald Trump. And so he has this floor of people. There's a number that is a percentage where he's going to reach today in the general election, likely voters. It's 37%. But his floor is basically where his ceiling is, because he can't and hasn't been able to expand after the primary into the general election and pick up any people. There's nobody else for him to pick up because he's insulted every potential group of people. And I think that the outrageous behavior and such, it has been so unbelievable that what we have now is that the numbers of women in particular who basically under no circumstance will they vote for him.
He seems to become unhinged, Susan, don't you think, as the polls went against him? He seems, I mean, that last debate, and his behavior is really erratic. I mean, we're not talking, you can remember, you can look at an archive and see the Nixon-Kennedy debates. You can see Reagan debate, Mondale, all so forth, and so on. We've never seen anything like this.
No, we haven't. And I mean, we just haven't. And that, you know, and I'm old enough to remember this. I'm a grandmother, and I can tell you that the notion of what we model to our children and our grandchildren these days is such that you can't accept his own attacks on Alicia Mercado, the former Miss Universe, his own comments about women, his own comments about you know, not paying taxes and being as divisive, his own attacks on the Republican Party, for that matter, are such that does not show someone who is a stable human being, and does show someone whose outrageous behavior is really shameful.
Let's talk about Hillary for a minute. Stop talking
sure.
about Donald for a second. One of the questions I have, I'm going to get your name right this time, Susan Turnbull of the Democratic National Committee.
Right.
Chatting here this morning. What about the lies?
I only let them in on names at the last minute, Susan. So it's not their fault. I give them a little piece of paper, but this time it was all folded weirdly.
I'm a grandfather, so I'm going to take a senior discount here. The lies about Hillary have been so many and varied, and the echo chamber. I think that's one of the things the DNC and the Clintons have been slow to. So I guess my question is going to be, is there a change in policy when they march out, they trot out some of these incredible lies, and some of them are becoming now, of course, as the election gets closer, beyond the pale. But even earlier, there was all of these slants and spins that weren't, if they were answered, they weren't answered in a strong enough way, or the media didn't pick it up. However, is there a change in the Clintons or in the DNC's approach to when they lie about Hillary?
Yeah, well, I think right now, I think what you're going to see, and the major difference in between the two campaigns right now, is that we do have a bench of people who are out there who basically are saying no. Elizabeth Warren is with Bernie Sanders today in Colorado. The DNC has its biggest and most aggressive bus tour across the country, where surrogates are standing with our bus, registering voters, getting people interested in making sure that they're registered and that they're going to be getting out the vote
in 22 states
across the country. We have also you have former President Clinton, who is on the trail, and then the most important surrogates of all, and I just heard a few minutes ago that Michelle Obama is coming to Arizona later this week, which is fantastic.
That's news to us, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic for everyone, because one of the things about Michelle Obama is that she laid out the most important reasons to vote for Hillary. Number one, she's qualified. Number two, she's prepared. She knows what she's doing. She is thoughtful and has had an approach where she has dealt with these issues both as a senator and as U.S. Secretary of State, and has results. When Donald Trump complains to Hillary Clinton, you know, you've been doing this for 30 years. Well, in fact, she was only in elective office from 2000 to 2009, but she served for 30 years, and as she said herself, bring it on.
Yeah. I'd like to point out that Bernie Sanders is going to be in Flagstaff tomorrow at Northern Arizona University. I'd be really remiss if I didn't ask, since you were at the DNC, the Russian email hacks. I think is something that really needs to be talked about. And what I find really disturbing is that much of the news media, or most of the news media, has taken the information that has come through WikiLeaks and taken emails from John Podesta's private email and put these forward publicly. They address the issues, so far we know that Podesta makes a really fine creamy risotto, and we have his recipe for it. But they put the emails forward without putting into context that this is stolen private information. And that's true of what they stole from the DNC and what Trump called for stealing from Hillary's private email account. Do you want to address that?
Absolutely. I mean, a couple of things. First of all, even after it was reported, after he was reportedly briefed by U.S. intelligence, Donald Trump still refuses to condemn this intrusion by a foreign government. He's been cheering it on, praising WikiLeaks, when it is in fact an effort by Russians to steal private campaign documents in order to influence an election. But, and when it was Watergate, it was filing cabinets. But this time, it's people's personal emails they're breaking into.
I wonder what we'd find on Trump's emails.
And foreign government is behind it. That's a problem. That is a problem. And it's time for Donald Trump to finally admit that he knows and should condemn this intrusion by the Kremlin and tell voters what did his campaign know and when did they know it. The ties between Trump associates and the Russian government are also concerning. Paul Manafort clearly was involved with both with financial ties to Russia. And there's a whole roster of current and former advisors who are involved. And we know that Roger Stone, who's a longtime Trump associate, is back channeling with the head of WikiLeaks. And we know that, and because we've all heard it out loud, that Trump is repeatedly praising Vladimir Putin. There is the WikiLeaks issue is also the case is that you have almost what you're reading and seeing are people people's risotto recipes or their comments, but that does not necessarily mean that any actions were ever taken. And there's no clarity that these emails were not doctored. There is no clarity whatsoever.
And that
there
is huge.
There is evidence for sure that that the that Vladimir Putin basically, in his new comments on the election, has confirmed that Donald Trump is carrying Russia's water.
Exactly.
With his pro-Putin wish list of policies, and the only question left is whether he'll follow through for the Kremlin. And then it's putting your finger on the scale through cyber attacks, and that's wrong, because he knows Hillary Clinton's going to stand up against him.
Right. We just want to make this clear that the Republican candidate for president is defending the Russian president and his people's illegal activities regarding the American government. I mean, this is, Dan Rather uses the word unprecedented, and he says, I've used this word a lot in my coverage of this campaign, but it's almost got to become, we need a different word, because unprecedented doesn't cover the kind of thing. I mean, and then you just said, Susan, that a Republican candidate's being read in on some of these briefings, and he's denying the intelligence information of the American system and defending the Russian president. It's beyond the pale.
So what do you think to be...
It is beyond the... And one of the funny things that I always look at, and I've seen things recently, I went to the University of Cincinnati, and I was an intern in college for Cincinnati's city government, including... Jerry Springer, who was then vice mayor of the city of Cincinnati.
Oh, that's right.
And Jerry Springer has been on television a lot lately, or he's been tweeting as well. And what he's saying over and over again is, this Donald Trump could be on my show. He should not be running for president.
Yeah.
He should. This is not a reality show. This is our world, and this is our government, and this is serious and important. And basically, American people are clearly starting to see through him, and he can't handle it. And he's becoming more and more erratic, and that in itself is a reason why you can't vote for him.
There are those pundits that have said that that's part of the appeal, is that he is allowing the country, the people, to participate in his reality show. In this particular reality show, where the Republican candidate certainly behaves as if he's high on cocaine, the Republican candidate attacks hundreds, not dozens, hundreds of people, flies in hundreds of different directions in horrible, meaningless attacks. And in this way, he's Jerry Springer-like and allowing them to participate in his reality show. And that's the, Hillary's too refined, too smart, too presidential to allow, some of these.
Right. I mean, do you remember there were weeks when all you talked about was Hillary would be doing better if she smiled more? I mean, excuse me? What this man has been doing for the last few weeks has been just screaming at everybody. So people have something that they can do. First of all, it's easier than ever to cast your ballot. Most states give voters options for how to vote. In many states, early vote has already started.
Including Arizona.
The election, tens of millions of people are going to vote early. And nobody can afford to sit on the sidelines. The fact of the matter is that either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to be elected president. And if you vote for someone other than Hillary, or if you don't vote at all, then you're helping to elect her opponent.
What disturbs me more than anything else is what Trump has done to the people of the U.S. I ended a couple of friendships over the weekend, longtime friendships, because my ex-friends were literally attacking the victims who had come forward and told about his sexual assaults. I simply can't, you know, have friends who want to shame and blame victims. Yeah. It's just that is a line that that they cross that I cannot excuse in any way, shape, or form. And I fear that he has done this with people all across the United States.
My thing is, or take on it is that the real weakness that Hillary and Democrats and sort of sane people have is that Donald Trump has a narrative, a very strong, very dishonest, very unreal narrative of what's wrong with the country. It's three or four different things that are wrong. Their solutions are very simple, and everybody in the establishment are the people who are keeping it from happening. It's a very strong, central and simple narrative, and it blames the other guys. It's almost
right, you
know, Nazi-like in its structure. I don't mean he's a Nazi. I just mean it's that blame somebody for our failure.
Well, and one of the most amazing things, and it hasn't gotten that much coverage because of the timing, but his reprehensible comments about the Central Park Five, which is five young men who went to prison for a rape they did not commit in Central Park and several years ago. And Donald Trump had bought an ad in the newspaper pretty much urging almost the lynching of them before their trials. And then even since they have been released, is still talking about them. This is after someone had come forward where DNA matched who was really criminally responsible for that rape. And if anyone would listen to one of these young men who served years in prison for no good reason and looked at what Donald Trump is saying about that, it's intolerable. It is unacceptable behavior. I mean, his comments and his, I feel so good because I have a chance to get this out of my system, as you can imagine.
Go ahead. You have two and a half minutes.
Okay. His comments and his targeting of immigrants and people with disabilities and your senator, John McCain, basically, because he was a POW, he wasn't Donald Trump, who did not serve choice for
a hero.
How you serve in the armed services? Seriously? I mean, there are just so many reasons why this is just wrong.
Well,
absolutely wrong, and America's seeing that.
I'm a veteran, this treatment of just on his treatment of veterans, and the veterans organizations have really poured out against him. One real quick before I run out of time, we've talked about the 538 before you joined us. DNC must be taking I mean, I realize it's too soon. You don't want to tempt the gods, but that's got to feel pretty good.
Well, obviously, we are expanding into different states like Arizona. We're going to be paying a lot more attention. We're going to be spending more time and energy in Georgia, which a Democrat hasn't won since Bill Clinton did in 1992. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities here, and we want to expand the map, and we want to go back and do what is most important, is to make sure that this is a clear-cut win so that his comments and people can come together. We are stronger together, and Hillary Clinton's going to make sure that that happens.
That's a good
thing. Hang on a second, Susan. Gary has some announcements. We've got
don't go away.
Democrats of the Red Rocks Breakfast this week on the 20th.
This Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we'll have Alex Martinez, who is running for the Arizona House seat for LD6. He'll also be on the radio, I think, next week.
Next week we have Tom O'Halloran, who's ready for Congress. We hope to have Alex the week after that.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay, thanks, folks. Don't forget, you can get this and all our podcasts on BVID.org. BVID.org.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.